Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of years to get to that point.
Not this many, but yes.
But you know my point. Point is that I think that's the overall thought that they, you know, they give the coach more than they do the general manager.
It's a coach-centric organization, and it's failing, quite frankly.
And you remember that Cowher Donahoe thing? I didn't think it was going to turn out that way.
Yeah, that blew up.
Yeah, I didn't think. I thought it was going to be Cowher.
I remember Tom Donahoe confronted Cookie in the Syracuse press box one day,
I heard that story, yeah.
I was right there, Bob. It was incredible. What a battle that was.
Well,
and Ron, to his credit, just took it. Ron always knew that people had the right to criticize him because he criticized them.
Sure.
So Donahoe came in, unloaded on Ron, and Ron just took it.
Everyone has opinions about how it should be done. That's all it is.
It's quite a sight, man.
But that's okay. That you should have that response.
You walk into the Syracuse press box with a coffee and a donut and sit down to read some pregame notes, and Tom Donahoe comes bursting in. Poor Ron. I think about him often, don't you, Bob?
I do. I hope he's well. I don't really hear from him too much.
But... Me neither. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Lager, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Warm but rainy today, a high of 56. Lamar Woodley. Let's bring on the general, Bob, shall we? And you can join next segment at 412-928-9370. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week from General Patton, Jeff Patton of the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Your chance to win comes from going on our website and the contesting page, 937thefan.com. Wednesday through Friday, right around noon, is the time to go on. And Bob, instead of guessing at the card of the week, look what I got handed today by our friend Amy Mock. It is a Joe Starkey baseball card.
I wonder what that's worth. As a smiling picture and all the details on the back.
Joe Starkey of the Pomp and Joe Show, and there's a picture of me on the back, too, and it says, fun facts, attended Duquesne University, Cortland State, University of Buffalo, Damon College, CCAC, and more, and maybe more, it says, considers Mulsey a role model, loves basketball, Bob McAdoo, the Golden State Warriors, and Bob Pompeiani. All that on the back of my card.
Wow, that's impressive. I'm thankful that you included me on that.
How much is this worth, General?
It's innumerable, invaluable this Thanksgiving week.
In other words, nothing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you've got to remember a lot of the stuff we deal in has to do with intrinsic value, so we'll put that in the intrinsic value category. Can't put a price on emotion.
Fair enough.
I deal with that every day.
What do you got this week? I'm thinking maybe Bob? Who did something notable?
I'm going to say Hines Ward just because he's Hines one of the
Ward.
Semifinals.
I'll agree with Bob. What do you got?
It's a good day. Thanksgiving, a lot to be thankful for, including Hines Ward getting nominated to go to the Hall of Fame. Flowery presentation by Tomlin for him yesterday. I got a jersey card from Panini Absolute featuring Hines Ward and Super Bowl 40 MVP. Fabulous card. Still sell tons of Hines Ward cards. It's amazing with all the cast of characters the Steelers have. Hines is one of the ones from the recent past that still has quite the following. This card's awesome. Has a piece of swatch that he wore in a game. Big Super Bowl XL logo over the top, sporting the white Steeler jersey. Very nice card.
Holy ostrich.
Do you think he'll get in this year?
No, he'll never get in.
I doubt it.
He should have been in years ago.
Yeah, but it took a while for Faneca. It took a while for Bettis.
Do you think that voters will vote him in?
This year it's too crowded, but I think eventually he will get in, yes.
I mean,
it also seems... seems like there's a longer wait for receivers for some reason.
Well, especially when there are a bunch of, and now you got all these quarterbacks entering the fray, you know, and when that happens, it eliminates positions for other people. Yeah, I hope he does. I think he deserves it.
Absolutely, he deserves it. But, can you milk an ostrich, Bob?
No, never tried, never want to.
General, any opinion on that?
I'm going to pass. On the ostrich, ostrich and the process.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you,
Happy
Joe.
Thanksgiving, my friend. What a man he is, huh, Bob?
Well, you have a card now. That's going to be interesting. People are going to be clamoring for it, I think.
I don't think so. I think I may have the only one.
No, they didn't print them for you just to have the only one. They did it to hand out.
Considers Mulsey a role model. That's my favorite part of the back here.
Yeah, how about that?
I really like that.
Well, you've made enough songs about him, and I'm still waiting for this year's Christmas Carol.
We're getting there, Bob. Let's get to people's calls next, and then we're going to break down the Buffalo game a little bit and just how important it is and what's our early line on who we think is going to win this game. We'll do that next. Oh, and who's going to play quarterback for the Steelers? Aaron Rodgers. What time does he speak today? Right around noon, Sean?
Yeah,
Bob?
It's between this time and noon, I think, yes.
All right. We'll be all over that whenever that happens today, and we'll try to turn that around as quick as we can and listen to the Steelers quarterback. First, I want to tell you about some Thanksgiving treats with FanDuel. In partnership with Valley Forge, is introducing a brand new way to build a parlay together. It's called Pass the Leg. Here's how it works. Start a group build, add your pick, then pass it to your friends so they can add theirs. When everyone's done, you can each lock in the group parlay with your own funds, because football's better when it's played and bet together. And to make it even better, everyone gets a 50% profit boost to use on their build. Man, George Pickens seems like a guy you could ride for a while here as putting up big numbers. So grab your crew, start your build, and get in on the action this Thanksgiving with Pass the Leg. Visit FanDuel.com/Starkey to get started. 21 plus, present, Pennsylvania, opt-in required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Soon as Aaron Rodgers talks today, we'll be turning that around as fast as we can, and you can hear from the Steelers quarterback. Bob, my first question for Aaron Rodgers would be, were you medically cleared to play the other day?
Yeah.
Yes or no, please, if you could. You know what I mean?
I thought yesterday Mike would say that. One way or another.
He wasn't asked.
Wasn't he? I thought he wasn't. No.
No, he was asked Friday by Mike DeFabo.
Friday, right? Yeah.
But Friday, it didn't really matter yet. It was still a good question, but what mattered was the decision was made Saturday.
Yeah, and
was Aaron Rodgers medically cleared to play?
And based on yesterday, how he made it sound, it's still up in the air. Right? That's my takeaway from that comment. Is it yours? He didn't say he's going to be practicing this week.
When Mike Tomlin does his injury report, if he says he's optimistic, I think guys play 95% to 100% of the time. He said that Sunday. He said it yesterday. If he doesn't believe that, he says you're leaving the light on for him. We'll do this. We'll do that. He said he was optimistic about Rodgers. In my experience, that means he thinks he's going to
play.
Didn't
he say that last week, though? Didn't he?
No, he did not say that last week.
I thought he did, but whatever. I mean,
he said last week Mason will be getting all the work this week.
But all the if you read the between the lines, it seemed to me like he was going to play. I came away thinking he was going to
start. So did I.
So if the answer is yes, he was medically cleared, then that's a whole different discussion. If the answer is no, he wasn't, then he's not medically cleared. There's not much you can do.
Well, if he wasn't medically cleared, why wouldn't you just say that and put all the discussion to rest?
I don't know.
There's no discussion to be had, guys. Aaron wasn't medically cleared. I had no choice in the matter. I'm just the head coach. Why wouldn't he just say that? I think because he was medically cleared and because Mike made the decision not to play him.
Well, we'll find out, because this week's a very important game, and they brought him for games like this. So if he's
and games like Chicago, which may cost them the playoffs too, or at least the division, but we'll see. You're right, though.
Those two games coming up are the most important of the season. They have direct playoff implications. They're winning your division and also getting in the playoffs tiebreakers.
That has to be the first question to Rodgers today. Please, the people over there need to get together and say, let's ask him, somebody, were you medically cleared to play? Yes or no? He says, yes, and I wanted to play, but Mike just thought better of it, whatever. And then you say, okay, then I assume you're medically cleared this week as well. It's only getting better, right? Or if he says, no, I wasn't medically cleared, then the next question has to be, are you now? Are you, why even ask you any questions about this if you're not medically cleared? It's pointless.
Right. And, and normally if you're going to play, you talk. The ones who are not playing normally don't talk. He's a different character, of course. He's Aaron Rodgers, so I think everyone wants him to talk every week. But if you're not the quarterback that's starting, most of the time you're not going to talk.
Well, maybe he won't talk today. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if he's done it so far. I haven't heard anything about it.
Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Are you monitoring this situation?
I am, yes. I've seen Cam Hayward has made comments, but I haven't seen anything from Rodgers yet.
What did Hayward have to say?
Basically, he said it's about execution as opposed to blaming schematics to this point. Kind of a generic answer.
I'd love to hear their private conversations if Patrick Queen is publicly ripping the schemes. I'm sure privately they don't have anything to say about the schemes, right?
I think all you have to do is look at that comment, his body language. He was hesitant to say it, but he Queen? Said it anyway. Yes, yeah. And also look at the body language of T.J. Watt when he was at the podium. I thought it went beyond a frustration. It was almost like, what's happening? What are we doing? Just looking at it, he was the definition of somebody who was down, frustrated, apparently not with many answers.
Sean, let's go to Paul in Washington, shall we?
That sounds like a great plan.
It's never a bad one.
By the way, Joe, did you try to sneak in on Saturday?
Where?
Into the show I was doing. Did you call under an assumed name?
I did. I called, who was it? Was it Ben in Franklin? No.
Yeah, I was.
Something like that, yeah.
I had warned Dom before, and he did
Dom
a good thing. He knew it.
And he got me good, although he didn't know at first.
He didn't?
No.
Okay.
He did not know at first.
Okay. What's up, Paul?
No. It was Chris in Mullerstown. That's who it was. Go ahead, sir. Hey, Paul.
All righty, Giuseppe and Roberto. First of all, I want you and your families to have a blessed Thanksgiving.
You too.
And also City Limits and Sean, Seth Meyers, and all the callers out there, but let's get right
Thank
down
you,
to
Cornelius.
Brass tacks.
Yeah.
I have been saying for years that I've been calling this program, Mike Tomlin is the ultimate problem as well as Art Rooney. And I think it's time for his son, Dan, who we've been told is the heir apparent, to make that walk down the hall. Knock on the door, maybe not even knock on the door, maybe just open the door and just say to his father, the game has passed you by. It's time for you to leave. It's time for new blood. It's time for a new approach. It's time for a whole new regime. Because this mess is an absolute mess, and I find it ironic that everybody in the listening audience is now on the bandwagon, but you still have a couple of the Tomlin jockstrap holders out there that'll defend him till the end. But I just want to know what you guys think of the media who's finally asking the tough questions. Where were you?
Paul, I love you. I love you. But I was just about to read something, too, on a column I did today about Patrick Queen questioning the scheme and a guy named Gary Marini. Geez, this defense has stunk for a decade, particularly in...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest games, and we're just now inferring Tomlin's the problem?
No, that's not the case.
I'm speechless. Do you not listen to sports talk radio? Do you not read columns? I wrote after last season that Tomlin should be fired. I've been critiquing him harshly for years and years, and so have, I could just list names of people, everyone on the station that I know of, Tim Benz, people on other stations. What are you talking about? And again, I love you, Paul. What are you talking about by painting a picture of finally the media's jumping on board? Maybe the national media, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah, I would agree. That's what I said earlier, the national media. But locally? Locally? Locally, the media has been crushing Tomlin, I think in many ways rightfully, for years, Bob.
And listen, after every one of these playoff losses, we've had to go on the air and take a lot of criticism and calls, and that was very prevalent. You know, after every one of these playoff losses, just because of the nature of how they lost, you can understand losing a tough game in an overtime or down to, you know, some field goal at the last few seconds. But by getting wiped out as easily as they have, especially early in the game, when you're supposed to have your best opportunity offensively, and yet it never has happened in the last eight times they've been in that situation. So, yeah, it's certainly mounting.
Did you see the story in the Post-Gazette about, I think this is by Mike White, that there's a standout middle linebacker from Peters Township, James Spratt, who's also a pilot, Bob? And there's a picture of him flying a plane. They call him the flying linebacker.
And he also, James Spratt, Mike and I did that championship game the other night. He was unbelievable. And Mike told the story on air about his flying and that he loves being in the air. He was flying around the football field, I can tell you that. 23 tackles in that game against Pine Richland. Every tackle he made, it was James Spratt who was at the bottom of the pile.
Would you want to be a pilot, Bob, or at least try it? I wouldn't.
No. Would you jump out of a plane?
God, no.
Okay, me neither. I just...
My stepson, did that. There's a photo of him doing it. I would...
What was his reaction after he did it?
He loved it.
He wanted to do it again.
And the photo shows it. If you offered me $10,000, it's not that I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. As soon as they opened the bottom of the plane, I would faint.
Or you'd have one of those explosions that you talk about, because that's what happened with me. I would not be able to go through it.
I couldn't. Even the thought of it, they're just sitting here thinking about it. I feel like I need medical attention. Bob.
Have you ever climbed to a height, to a spot and looked? I can't even do that.
Yes.
I've
jumped off telephone poles on ropes courses, and that took a lot. I've climbed to the top of a telephone pole
And what was your heart rate, I wonder, at the top?
I don't know, but you have a strap around you, like you're on belay, I guess they call it.
Yeah.
To where once you jump, obviously, the guy down below does something with the rope to catch you, but that's not of much comfort when you're standing on top of the telephone pole, Bob.
There's also a chance that rope would break.
I know that. I know the rope could break.
That's the stuff that would get on my mind. I don't even think about it.
Sean, would you jump out of a plane?
No, I wouldn't say I'm horrified of heights, but I don't enjoy them. So if I'm up somewhere, you know, I think I went to what's it called, the CN Tower in Toronto or whatever. Yeah. I get close enough that I can kind of appreciate it, but I don't get right up to the edge of things.
Bob, my like stomach starts to feel queasy as I look at this photo of James Spratt above the clouds. I would pass out if I was in charge of the plane. And I looked around and we're how many feet are you up? 15,000 feet? 30,000 feet?
I would
pass out.
But he's had an absolute fascination with doing it, and he's followed up with it. He's gone through all the stuff he has to go through to be a pilot, and he loves it. So,
Bob, now that we're radio partners, would you like to do a duo ropes course with me where we have to like hold each other up on a tightrope and stuff just to build trust?
No.
Would you do that?
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
No.
I can't either.
No.
What a horrible
The highest
bear
I ever been. Talk about heights. When we did the Olympics, went to the top of a luge run.
Yeah.
And also the ski jump.
I went in a helicopter once. And
that is nerve-wracking. I can't even imagine going down there flying through the air. Must be a great feeling if you can get through that.
Yeah, if you live. I went in a helicopter once in Vancouver. It was me, Dejan Kovacevic, Paul Steigerwald.
Is this a hockey thing?
Was Bob Airy there? Related. It was the late 90s. And Steigy knew some helicopter operator in Vancouver. And the next thing you know, we're not hovering above the ground. We flew to the top of a mountain. what are the mountains called out there? I forget. Bob, we went to the top of a mountain where it was snow-capped. And I'm in a helicopter, and to my right, where that console is air and sky. This guy makes a sharp right turn. I'm flying out of the helicopter.
Some people jump out of there and go down and ski. They jump out of helicopters to ski.
You know what else he did? He, I think, cut off the engine so we would droop down toward the ocean. I can't believe I lived.
Have you ever been on a hot air balloon?
I wouldn't go on one of those.
I've done
in
that
a trillion years.
And at the time when I did it, I just trusted it. We went up, very nice. Landing was a little rough, but it was fine. Did it again after that.
Really?
My wife loves that kind of stuff. But then on Instagram now, all you see are those photographs and those videos of those things getting somehow punctured, and then they go straight down. And I just.
The irony there is I would have to be airlifted out of the place before I ever got on the balloon. Yeah.
I saw once Terry Bradshaw's daughter, they were doing a parasailing thing. This was down in, where were we? It was one of those in the Bahamas somewhere. I can't remember the name of the place. But he was staying at the same place as his daughter. They had a problem with it, and the thing went down.
Oh, believe me.
And so she had an injury to her leg. And that's the kind of stuff still that I
did that.
I've done that too, but I don't want to ever do that.
I was just going to tell you, in Cape May, did it with my daughter. So we're on the back of a boat. Against my better judgment, I get strapped in there with ropes. And then obviously as the boat moves, you go way up in the air. And there's really, it's cool at first, and then there's nothing to it except I hope nothing goes wrong. We're just sitting up there, way up in the sky. And all I can think about is, what if something goes wrong? What if I get tangled up here? What if then I'm trapped underwater and I'm tangled up in the rock? It's not fun.
You have to have an escape plan.
It's not fun.
You have to have an escape plan in advance. Figure out
what
you're going to do.
There's nothing fun about a roller coaster. And that's why I tell the guy, I make the guy come over. I'm like my mom. I make the operator. You know when he checks to see if everybody's in?
Totally.
I'm the guy who calls him over to double check and test the little bar in front of me to make sure it doesn't fly open.
And you never know. You never
and
know
every
the guy's
time
gonna be
she's
thorough
got
about
me
that.
Up in one of those, I start yelling at her on the way up. You did this. Why'd you do this? I hate this. This isn't fun.
I can show you a picture of me. Of all things, on a little tiny, tiny roller coaster down in Disney. It's called Seven Dwarfs Ride.
What, are you go an inch off the ground?
No, it's more than that. I thought it was just an inch off the ground, but it's more. I'm just not fan. And you know how they always take your picture?
Yeah.
And then you can buy it afterwards?
Right.
You should see the facial expressions.
I can imagine.
It was terrible.
You and I wouldn't do well on a ropes course together, Bob. I can't even get in an elevator. All I think about is what could go wrong just that one time, and the thought of being stuck in
an elevator.
Yes.
We've been stuck in elevators.
Who?
My family. We were down in
your family was stuck
Florida.
In an elevator?
Yeah. It we were all of, and I'm talking my granddaughters and everything. And they got a kick out of it. And they had to call the fire department. And it took a while. There were other people on there. And it was
were getting, you freaking out?
Not really, because I know I've seen those and how fire people come in and something goes wrong with it. You're stuck. My wife, on the other, was thinking out loud about what happens if we go down and it just completely free falls. And
right.
I said,
Exactly.
We're here. You can't think about that.
The free fall. I'd be thinking about that. I'd be sweating. I'd be having an anxiety attack, and I would become the biggest problem.
Granddaughters thought it was cool. And when they came, eventually, they opened it up, and we all had to crawl out.
That's like when my wife went into labor. It was me who started to employ the Lamaze classes that we did, not her.
Then breathing.
Yeah, and I said I might need medical attention. And the nurse said, we're not here to take care of you, honey.
Oh, my God.
That was the problem, Sean, is that I started to freak out when she went into labor.
Are you a take-the-steps pretty much at all costs over an elevator guy?
Yes.
So what? Like how many floors would it have to be for you to take the elevator instead of steps?
Mm, Good question.
Thank you.
Over six.
Yeah.
For sure. We also took the elevator at the Sky Dome or whatever that place is in Toronto, Bob. You know that? God, I hated that. The outdoor kind of elevator where you're looking down. There's nothing enjoyable about that.
Well, unless you like it. And there are a lot of people who like that stuff. So if that's your thing, then go for it. I like it to a degree. And then I get a little nervous.
What were we talking about
before? I have no idea.
Me neither. Let's talk about the Pirates coming up. There's a lot going on
here. Oh, yeah, you said something
here
with Ken Rosenthal, which is very interesting.
Yeah, Travis Williams made it a point to go out in front of the media yesterday and say, oh, we screwed up last offseason, but wait till you see what we got here. What do we have here, number one? And number two, is there an ulterior motive for the Pirates to be spending money? Or, put in a less nice way, are they being ordered to spend money this offseason? Ken Rosenthal seems to imply as much. Let's talk about that next on Pomp and Joe. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Man, this Thanksgiving is a great football slate. Bob and I just talking about it. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge, is introducing a brand new way to build the parlay together. It's called Pass the Leg, and here's how it works. Start a group build, add your pick, then pass it to your friends so they can add theirs. When everyone's done, each lock in the group parlay with your own funds, because football is better when it's played and bet together. And to make it even better, everyone gets a 50% profit boost to use on their build. What will Joe Burrow do? Would you go under, thinking he might be rusty? It's going to be an interesting situation there. So grab your crew, start your build, and get in on the action this Thanksgiving with Pass the Leg. Visit FanDuel.com/Starkey to get started. FanDuel, play your game. 21 plus and present in Pennsylvania. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Gambler. Something sure seemed fishy when a reporter as reputable as Jeff Passan said the Pirates were going to spend money this offseason and even were snooping around Kyle Schwarber.
And made an offer to Josh Naylor, right?
Apparently they didn't.
But he said they did. They were in it and they made some, like it was a $78 million offer and it fell short.
Right. I think it's since been reported that they actually never offered Josh Naylor. But Travis Williams was out there yesterday basically saying, yeah, last offseason, here's what he said, told the Post-Gazette. Our goal and expectation is that we win and make the playoffs, Travis Williams said. You notice how Bob Dunning, when's the last time he got quoted on anything? In order to do that, we have to be aggressive. We think we missed the mark in being aggressive last offseason. What was it, Bob? A game of darts they just accidentally missed, or did they intentionally not spend money?
He says $30 million on like 10 players, which is insane.
And their payroll was less than 90.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think, by the way, that they have shed salary, will spend back that salary, and still get only to the same spot. Anyway, he said, we didn't add to the offense the way we needed to in order to support the pitching. We know we have a really special pitching staff, one of the best, if not the best, in baseball. We have to support that with offense. Well, that's obvious, Bob. And there's plenty of affordable options, and there's bigger options that some people think aren't affordable. He says we need to win and make the playoffs. But here's my point. You ready for this, Bob?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ken Rosenthal, another almost unimpeachable baseball insider. Would you agree with that?
Yes, both guys are very good.
Him and Evan Drellich, I believe is the name, from The Athletic, write a story under this headline. Because this has felt like a weird story from the second I saw the headline on Jeff Passan's piece. Here's the headline on this one by Rosenthal and Drellich. Quote, the Pirates and Marlins have a sudden willingness to spend. Here's what could be behind it. You ready for this, Bob?
I think I know where you're going.
You're sitting up in your chair. The Pittsburgh Pirates, after expressing interest in Naylor, are doing the same with Kyle Schwarber, considering Jorge Polanco, Ryan O'Hearn, etc. One of the Japanese guys out there they're considering. Miami Marlins, active in the closer market, etc. Both teams are perennially bottom five payroll, says the story. Both have been the subject of past grievances from the Players Association over lack of spending, with the Marlins potentially at risk. You following me so far, Bob?
I think I know where you're going.
In the view of some player agents, writes Rosenthal, the surprising entrances of the Pirates and Marlins into the marketplace are curious. I'll say, as an editorial comment by me in the middle of quoting them, and with the sports CBA set to expire after next season, no coincidence. Quote from an agent, Seth Levinson, there's a possibility of a fight among clubs over revenue sharing, with the smaller markets seeing a greater contribution. The payers, Bob, which are the large market clubs, the guys who pay into revenue sharing so the Pirates can get that
and
money.
And gladly do it.
Gladly?
Yeah, because they spend anyway. They don't care what the spend.
It's not gladly. They don't want to be handing out welfare to the smaller market clubs.
But they also do it, and they know they have to because they want to spend.
Well, that's different. That's not gladly. The payers will argue that insufficient revenue sharing funds are being spent on player acquisition.
In other words, the Marlins and the Pirates are not doing their required spending.
Hence, says this agent, it wouldn't be a surprise if the smaller markets compete for talent in the free agent market to convince the larger markets that they're committed to putting a better product on the field. This is all about the CBA. And when I see that larger markets might be putting pressure, that's really, I think, the commissioner. It sounds to me like there is a possibility that this weird story appeared and that we might see some weirdly odd spending by the Pirates, although it might only be spending back the money they already got rid of because the commissioner is putting pressure on them. What say you?
What I would say is then it has to be more than that. If you're saying they're just going to end up at the same watermark that they are, which is the same
either
amount
way,
of money.
If they go and spend some money,
How much money?
Do you think it's because there's pressure being put on them?
I think there always should be pressure, yes. You don't have a system in place where it excuses guys from spending. They don't have to spend.
Well, they haven't cared about the pressure till now. If it's coming from the commissioner and the large market clubs, we're about to have a CBA expire.
Well, then
we're about to have a labor war. You better spend.
Okay, but what would define spending? They could come back and say, we do spend. Look, our payroll
went. Even the Pirates admit they don't, Bob.
Okay, but
they don't spend.
What would... What number?
Somebody
would
for 2 years and $40 million. Somebody for three
that's,
years.
That's just doing normal business. That's to me. That's not spending.
And I think that might be good enough in the eyes of the larger markets. At least then the Pirates could say, "Hey, we spent money. We went out and signed a guy." That's the point here. Whether you or I are convinced that, you know, buy all this doesn't matter.
If they trade Keller,
point here is,
and they save his money, but just spend it on somebody else, what have they done?
Right, and that's probably what I'd say if I was the Players Association or the larger markets. Like, are they really spending, you know, are they increasing their payroll? But the point is, Bob, if they go out and buy some even somewhat expensive baseball players, I'm not sure they're doing it on their own volition. Do you get that?
Yeah, I get that, and that's what that article seemed to indicate. But if first of all, if I'm the Pirates, I shouldn't have anyone remind me I need to spend. They have what they have is a generational pitcher who's making $875,000. He got more yesterday in his pre-arbitration case at $3.4 million because he hasn't reached arbitration. And good for them. They have a system between players and Players Association and owners that reward guys who are paid insufficient funds, at least by their standards. So, but that they shouldn't be forced to. Why do they have to be forced?
Well,
you
I
have
agree.
A chance to win.
Yeah,
go
I agree.
Out and spend.
I agree.
But yeah,
100%.
You're right.
This everybody is does, and everybody has agreed and
it's
said
all
that
ahead
for
of
a
the
million
CBA
years.
And what should be a really ugly battle.
That's the important point here. That, and I want people to hear this loud and clear. If baseball gets a salary cap, they're getting a salary floor. The salary floor could be well over $100 million, and baseball knows that the only way that the Pirates and Marlins are going to get to those kinds of places is with increased revenue sharing, increased payments from other teams. So if these other teams are going to say, what are we spending? What are we giving the Pirates money for? They want to see them buy some players. I think that's what's at play here. So does this agent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the biggest line of all, Bob. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No.
Are you sitting up in your seat?
I'm ready.
I hope we're all following the storyline so far out there. Because here's the kicker. And I just said part of it. A salary cap is going to come with a salary floor. It's a double deal. It's the way every other sport that has a salary cap has a floor. You have to get to the floor. You ready for this line, Bob?
Go ahead.
As with the Pirates, some rival executives will believe it when they see it, this increased spending. And here's the line. Some also are skeptical that the Pirates' Nutting and the Marlins' Sherman, their owner, could survive as owners under a cap floor system that would force them to spend to a minimum level. I don't know if this is ironic or not. I was about to say, ironically, perhaps it doesn't fit there. It would be ironic because the Pirates, in pushing to force a salary cap, could also be bringing in a salary floor that could cause their owner to not want to own the team anymore. How about that?
I think that would be good if it results in that.
I think that many other people might agree with that, boy. I mean, Bob. Boy.
Boy.
And yeah, Rosenthal writes, to this point, Nutting has been unmoved by pleas of fans in Pittsburgh for him to sell the team. He is willing to spend now, according to a person briefed on his thinking, because the Pirates have reached a rare moment in time. Talking about Skeens. Well, is that what's moving him? Or is it because he's being forced to? And what would having to spend, I don't know, say $130 million a year on payroll due to his desire to continue to own the Pirates? We can all have opinions on this. I just think it's become a fascinating topic, don't you?
Yeah, it is. And quite frankly, the answer is, if I'm him, it shouldn't matter. He's still, when he does eventually cash in the chips, he's going to make a ton of money, much more than he ever invested in this franchise. So why not play the game and try to win the game?
Why not cash in the chips? I've wondered about that about him
because
for years.
Because every year that he waits, it goes up even higher.
I know, but as in life, expansion always leads to contraction at some point. World events, economies, whatever. Yes, baseball franchise values have increased year after year after year to the point where the Kansas City Royals are selling for $1.5 billion. But at some point, if you don't cash in those chips, you might not get him in the end. I truly believe that. I think right now or near now would be the ultimate. I mean, it's the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Kansas City Royals. You're not getting Dodgers money for selling your franchise, Bob. And if Bob Nutting were forced to spend $130 million or so on payroll, I think he'd have some thinking to do about what he really wants.
Well, if it results in winning and money is to be made by winning.
Yeah, that's the other problem. Just because you get a salary cap doesn't mean you're going to, just because you spend to the salary floor doesn't mean you're going to win. Their other problem is their GM is incompetent. That's a small little problem.
And that's a separate thing. You're just talking about money. And I think if you get your aircraft at 30,000 feet, you need fuel to keep it up there. You're not going to just stop. Spend on your franchise. See what you can do to win.
But everybody would be. Do you like the Pirates' chances on equal footing with other teams? I don't.
Again, that's a separate story.
Well, no, it's a related story.
It is, but you're talking about now general manager moves, what they do.
You're
as
talking
a
about,
group.
Yeah, if they spend money and they win, Bob Nutting will make his money back. Just because they spend money doesn't mean they're going to spend it well. Look at how they spent the little money they've had.
You don't think they still make a profit yearly. I don't care what anyone else says. To me, they have to do it. He wouldn't be in this game if he was losing money the way people sometimes describe.
No, that's fine. But
why not kick it up? Why not try to win? How much more money
is there
to
I agree with that.
Win?
But you implied that by spending more, he's going to make more. So you're implying that, they'll have a much better chance to win, to which I would say not necessarily, because there's the baseball side of it.
Well, it depends on the baseball side. Absolutely it does. I mean, you got to get that right for sure.
That's not a small matter.
It seems like they've done a decent job bringing in some talent. Where that talent ends up here, I don't know.
Where they have?
Well, Chandler's one of them. Pitching talent,
I mean, yeah,
sure.
They have some pitching talent. They need hitting.
But if you don't have it, you got to go out and trade for it.
I mean, with the number of high draft picks they've made, you or I could have stumbled into a couple really talented players, too. What else have they done?
Yeah, but I mean, that's part of it. Eddie Johnston, who just turned 90, happy birthday, EJ. He could have traded that pick and not taken Mario Lemieux based on some of the offers
no
he
doubt.
Got, but he did.
No
it's
doubt.
Not as easy as just saying, yeah, Skeens is Skeens. But there are a lot of people who wanted bats behind him that went, too.
That's true, and I think that is what has saved Ben Cherington's job,
the fact
that he made the right pick there.
He did not move off of it. He stayed there and got what he got.
But even Mario needed Tom Barrasso and Paul Coffey and Ron Francis and everybody else to win.
It took a long time for that to happen.
And the right executive running the show.
Exactly. So I don't disagree with that, but that's what has to happen. But you got to play the game, too. You can't just limit and handicap and handcuff your general manager by saying we're never going to spend. Well, that then puts even more emphasis on the decisions that are made in the draft with trades. You got to hit on every single one of them, and that's just not doable. So you have to do the other means of it, which is spending. They should spend. I still think you can make money when you spend if you do it right. If you do it wrong, you're going to lose.
Sure, you can make some money. The gold, the treasure is in selling this franchise
and that treasure
for $2 billion.
It's never going to change. It's going to keep going up higher.
Maybe.
So he has that in his back pocket. That's why
he has that in his back pocket. That's the whole way he makes money in the end.
Okay, but that's why he shouldn't worry about spending now. If you're a competitive owner.
I agree. He should spend, but he hasn't until now. And now they say he will, which seemed like an odd story. And it sounds like he's being compelled by Major League Baseball to do so. At least I wonder about that.
And I'm glad that Major League Baseball is doing that then. They should.
But you're right. The question now is he just spending back to what they had before?
Well, we'll find out. If that payroll is still around $85 to $90 million, then basically that's what's happened.
There's also the small matter of they haven't done anything yet, but we really haven't heated up in the winter market yet.
There hasn't been much activity other than a trade yesterday for Sonny Gray, which was kind of interesting.
I'll say, because that could have been Mitch Keller.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 13 matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Give me your best guess, Bob. What's the highest annual salary they'll put on a free agent this year, the Pirates?
Yearly? Like a yearly breakdown?
Yeah.
Well, if it's me, I would go $30 million a year, that sort of player.
Well, if it was me, I'd go $100 million, but what do you think they'll do?
I think you'll see a deal of 3 years. It'll be better than the one that it should be for Liriano back in whatever day. What was he at? 3 years, $39
million? $39. You think it'll be above $15 million a year?
Yeah, I think it should be. Will it be? I don't know. I hope so. Because those are the only players that are going to make a difference in your lineup. You can't have this pitching staff wasted away with no hitting.
I don't think they're going to go above $15 million for a player. Do you, Sean?
I think they will sign Gino Suarez 2 years, $38 million.
I like that move. They need
Holy
a third baseman
who can
hit.
Okay.
And he'll bat 190 with about 30 home runs.
I'll take it.
I'll take the third. I'll take it. I don't care about the average.
Sawinski did that 190 or 120 with far fewer home runs.
That's been their big offseason move so far, bring back Sawinski.
Well, but that was sort of a procedural thing. I don't think he won't be on this roster. I'd be shocked if he was on this roster.
Wait, is that what people have said? It was just procedural? Why would you sign somebody to $1.5 million or whatever it was?
I don't know. Because they had to tender all these guys, and they decided to take one more chance on him. But I still don't think he's going to be on the roster. If he's on the roster, then they're not doing
it. Well, why are they taking a chance on him then? What's the point? Why waste $1 million around here is like $10 million somewhere else?
Well, the way they've spent money, you can make an argument, Joe, that the way they've spent money, they've caught.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.